magic dinosaur.
We're not starting like that.
You don't tell me how to live my life.
But I tell other people how to live their lives.
You do?
Yep. I'm a professional life teller.
You know, a lot of people would pay good money for that.
Exactly. It's like you go to a fair and it's like a fortune teller, except I don't tell you what's going to happen in the future. I tell you what's going to happen right now because you're going to do what I tell you to.
Like, I swear to you, people come in, they're like, all right, tell me about your life. And they tell you their various problems, scenarios at work. And then I would be like,
go, this is what you need to go do.
Yeah.
I think we're just describing, like, an aggressive therapist.
Aggressive therapy.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, I feel like a lot of the time they don't, you know, it's not their job to, like, they don't tell you specifically what to do. No. Hence the aggressive.
I think that they explicitly aren't supposed to tell you what to do.
I agree.
And that has always bothered me.
What? Why?
Because.
You can't do that.
I know it's dangerous.
Yeah. But, like. Yes, amongst other things.
I just want, maybe I want an opinion, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I would hire you.
Oh, yeah, well, no problem. Well, first of all, we're gonna have to scratch that opening. You wanna try again?
Hey everybody, welcome to Magic the Amateuring,
a podcast for people learning to play the game of Magic, already playing the game of Magic, or who played the game of Magic were like, no more, and then came back for more.
And also everybody else.
Yes, and all the people in between and around that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And we have a great show coming up for you today. Some exciting news with Spooky Moon.
Spooky Moon. Ghost Host, I know, is like exceptionally excited for Spooky Moon. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can barely shut him up. Ghost Host. Get your own show.
Jeez. I know, right?
Talky, talk.
Or don't. I mean, we need him around.
No, we do.
It's a valuable ghost perspective on everything.
It really is.
So, as Maria mentioned, Spooky Moon.
Spooky Moon.
We're also going to talk a little bit about drafting Eternal Masters.
Yeah, that's bomb.com.
Yeah, man, it's been a lot of fun. We'll talk some Community Super League and bring you some
Flavor Text Theater
with Eternal Masters.
This is an Eternal Masters that I'm holding right here.
That's right. We are going to crack a sacred Eternal Masters booster.
Ooh, do you know what's in here? Force of Will. Calling it now. Boom.
What?
What if it was?
What if it is? All right.
Foil?
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
That's a bold call. That's a bold call.
I mean, I'm not afraid of flavor.
Yeah.
I'll eat like a...
Don't even lie. You are so afraid of spicy food.
I wasn't going to say spicy food. What I was going to say was I'll eat a sour cream and onion Pringle.
That is not a definition of flavor. Like, that is a flavor of Pringle, but in terms of like flavor, no. Not it.
But I would. And in fact, I would eat more than one.
Oh, what about like some great curry? That's flavor.
If it's not spicy, then yes.
Ugh.
I need it as mild as a newborn baby's smile.
What if it's spicy and then you can put a lot of yogurt in it?
Am I having to bring my yogurt to the curry place?
No, there's yogurt available.
Okay. I mean, I've never tried that, so maybe I would.
Oh. I mean, if you're ever looking for a way to de-spicy savory foods, yogurt is great.
I usually just take a bite of bread.
I mean, I'm not going to stop you from doing that. Bread is great.
Yeah, and when you say curry place, do you mean like Indian food place?
Yeah, although other places have curry. Thai food has curry.
Oh, okay.
Malayan food has curry.
And what is a curry? It's just like a slosh.
What?
Like a sloshy sauce, right?
Are you thinking of soup?
That other... Not quite that sloshy.
Are you trying to describe soup?
No, soup I would say is like a liquid.
Yeah, I think that curries also have kind of like a flavor profile. They're not all exactly the same, but there's like a spectrum, right?
Yeah.
And once you fall outside of that, then you're into like stew territory. But if you're inside that flavor spectrum, then you're in curry territory.
You know, I appreciate your advice, but one time you were making soup and you ate it with a fork, so part of me thinks I can't trust you.
Was I making soup?
Yeah. Well, it definitely wasn't soup, but one time, this was before a podcast many moons ago.
I specifically remember, I'm trying to remember if it was chili. or if it was soup.
Oh, I don't know. You definitely ate it with a fork.
But I also ate it with, like, over rice.
She's just like,
Which makes me think it was chili that I mistakenly called soup. Look, I'll admit that my track record on this issue is not perfect.
Okay, that's fine. That's more than most politicians can say.
If that's what you want. If that's what you want.
For the noobs, clogged board states.
That's right. We had a tweet from Paul Martin who asked, do you have an episode on how to handle clogged board states? I usually play control to avoid it. Good move, Paul. But in this standard, it seems impossible.
I mean, yeah, there's lots of decks running around creating tokens that...
And even these so-called control decks in the current format play a reasonable number of creatures, especially given, like, you know, the Once Upon a Time, the dream, Sphinx's Revelation control.
Give it a rest!
Never. I will never give it a rest.
Okay, fine.
Anyways, I don't remember where I was going to go. I got lost. I got lost in my memories.
Yes, in your dreams. Clogged board states. Unfortunately, you can't bring a plunger to magic events and stick it on the board and suck up the cards. That is not looked upon fondly.
No, it certainly isn't. Also, it wouldn't be particularly effective.
No.
It relies on suction, so you would just stick on the table.
So, clogged board states, they're a nemesis of mine. I hate them. Because it's oftentimes, at least can be perceived to be, an epic combat math scenario where you're just sitting there, there's so much of everything, you don't know when you should swing, you don't know which ones you should block when, you don't know how to force through damage. So that's particularly actually a reason why I know green-white tokens is the best deck in standard right now, but I don't want to play it because I don't want to find myself in that scenario, even though people say, oh, sometimes, oh, it's not that hard, it's not that hard. But I just like... Ugh, I do not want to deal with it.
Yeah, let's break it down and start at limited clogged board states.
All right.
I think in limited, if you end up with a lot of clogged board states, sometimes that's just like an effect of the format. Like Oath of the Gatewatch, man, sealed Oath, you could get into some super...
Oh, yes.
Super clogged board states. And in that case, if whether you're building a sealed pool or drafting a sealed deck, or drafting a draft deck, obviously. Oh my god, words.
Drafting a sealed deck sounds
drafting
sweet.
Drafting a sealed deck. Yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing you can do at GPs.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so whether you're building a sealed pool or you're drafting a deck, you're going to want to make sure that you have ways to break stalls. And that's actually like, that's something that you do need to actively do. Whether you're going to do it by being the super aggressive player and just trying to kill your opponent before it gets to a really clogged board state.
Yep.
Maybe you're playing control and you're going to have a lot of removal and then you're going to follow it up with some really big threats that don't necessarily care. Like Eldrazi Devastator is a great example. An 8/9 Trampler that it's like, hey, do you know what? If you've done a good job managing your life total and you've done a good job like getting rid of your opponent's biggest threats, you can just start getting there with an 8/9 who doesn't care about math. It's like, I'll trample over, guys.
Sweepers. I mean,
yes,
not
sweepers,
always
which
very...
are usually, you know, rares in a format. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there's ones like Flaying Tendrils, if that's going to kill a lot of things. And then you're going to want some evasion.
Yep.
You know, some good old-fashioned, whether it's got flying, whether it's got, again, maybe like Trample is kind of a pseudo form of evasion. Menace, again, flying being obviously the classic.
Can't be blocked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Unblockable. Or can't be blocked at this point.
Yeah, so... That's something to, that's always just good old-fashioned sealed advice. Mm-hmm. Either have top end that can break through a board stall or have flyers, which are usually very good in sealed, or some other type of evasion. Because in sealed, you're more likely to encounter a board stall than you are in draft.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to standard, the matches that I assume that you're probably talking about are going to mostly be ones like green-white mirrors.
Ugh.
In that case, you might want to consider something like some sweet tech in the mirror. I know that I saw, I think it was Emma Handy, who plays a lot on the Star City Games circuit.
Yeah.
You can check her Twitter. She was playing a couple of weekends ago and posted a photo of green-white tokens, but it had Arlen Cords.
Yeah.
And not a full four, but it was her tech for the mirror. And it's so, like, if you know that... especially something that's as prevalent as green-white right now, you're like, do you know what? I hate stalled boards, and I'm going to play this mirror a lot. Like, by all means, like, put in some sweet tech that's going to break apart the mirror. I think she said that she went something like she played like six mirrors over the course of the weekend and won them.
Okay, well, yeah.
Like, she won six mirror matches.
That's legit.
So if it's something like that where you're like, hey, I'm going to see this matchup a lot, do it. It's right. worth it. If it's 6 out of 10 rounds and you're going to guarantee yourself 6 out of 10 wins by using some sweet mirror tech.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
That's a legitimate strategy. It's totally, totally baller. Or play a control deck and don't care.
Don't worry about
just
it.
Just don't care. Languish them into oblivion.
I mean, honestly, some people are just better at dealing with the math scenario when there is a bunch of creatures on the board. And it doesn't mean you're a bad player if you are disinclined to want to deal with that sort of thing. You may be better in other ways. So, like, don't beat yourself up for not being able to do it. I know plenty of, you know, pro players, really good players, who would just rather not deal with that either, and they just play a different kind of deck. That being said, you can, of course, always learn to practice the matchup and play it a bunch of times. And I think the more that you see what happens as a consequence of the actions that you take, you can factor into the way that you play. So, if I start attacking now instead of, you know, 2 or 3 turns later in a general game scenario, no, that actually turns out better for me, and I'm able to get my opponent's life total down to where it's manageable for me to be able to kill them. Yeah. So that's just another tip. It is a slog, but the more you play a format, the more you get a handle on how you should be playing a format, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. are you telling me that the more that you play something, the better you understand it?
That's right.
Shut up.
Put that in a PSA.
I do not subscribe to that line of thinking. No, thank you. I prefer to think that the less that I think about something, the better I am at thinking about it.
You know, you sound like certain candidate supporters this election cycle season.
I don't even want to know what you're talking about. I refuse to comprehend what you're saying or to consider it.
Makes sense.
Other than that, you know, just sometimes you're going to have to just start keeping like a rolling account
thunder.
In your head of like,
oh
yeah, always have a rolling thunder. I mean, that's a great way to break a board stump.
I have this rolling thunder.
Maybe if you've, you know, like, think about what outs you've got in terms of combat tricks in your deck. Think of, like, just keep a rolling tally of kind of like, hey, how do blocks line up for me right now? What will they look like if I draw this card? What will they look like if I draw this card? And sometimes, unfortunately, you just have to sit down and slog through the math.
Yeah. And, you know, it does get easier. It really does. Mm-hmm. The more that you do it. I'm still not great at it, obviously, as I sort of hinted at the beginning of the segment, but, I'll notice it from, you know, month to month. Maybe it's 6 months time, and 6 months later, I feel a little more confident when I'm at the state instead of just like a deer in headlights, you know?
Yeah. Is that the noise that a deer makes? They're all standing there going, bah!
At least that's what it seems like.
Bah!
Spooky moon!
Spooky moon!
I'm so spooked right now, Megan.
What? You should be. Ghost host. Are you spooked?
Can Ghost Host be spooked of anything if Ghost Host already...
You have to let Ghost Host answer.
Okay.
No, he says he can't be spooked.
He can't be spooked.
Wow.
I mean, once you're a ghost, you've really kind of seen it all.
Yeah, that's very true.
I mean, you've seen it all. You've seen people taking showers. You've seen...
Ghost Host, you don't do that, do you? I can't believe...
I can believe it.
Wow.
If you were invisible, Megan, would you...
Okay. Give it to me. Come here. Let's hear it. Hear it.
If you were invisible like Ghost Host, how would you abuse your invisibility powers?
Oh, this is a great question.
Yeah.
Well, one, I 100% would just be, I would walk around at night.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be afraid.
No, I wouldn't be afraid.
Yeah, taking walks on like a nice sunny, like sunny, what am I saying? A nice warm, like
summer night. Oh my God,
night.
Yeah, are you kidding? I would take like midnight walks. All the time.
I found myself in the position of being like, I wish I could take a walk right now. It's so nice out, and I can't because I'm going to get slaughtered.
All the time.
Anyway.
Yeah, just straight murder town.
Oof, that's a great answer.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
even
thought
of that. It's very unfortunate. It's really an unfortunate answer.
Yes, it is. Yeah, walks at midnight. Okay, great.
Would be so great.
Yeah. Would you do any nefarious things though?
No, I don't think so. Like, I don't think, like, I wouldn't go into other people's houses.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
I mean, that'd just be creepy.
It would.
Just think they would first see me, even though I'd be worried. Yeah.
It would just be, like, I'm not interested in like, violating someone's privacy like that. But I would definitely go into, like, not to, like, steal anything, but I would, like, go into businesses at night. I'd be super interested in walking around the world when it's dark and quiet and there's nobody there.
That'd be cool.
I'm an introvert, in case anybody was wondering.
I want to get on planes that have empty seats.
Ooh,
that's what I would do.
That is good.
And they wouldn't see me.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yeah. But then I also wouldn't get any peanuts or
that's
soda.
That's true. Ooh, rough. Well, couldn't you just go back to the snack area when, like, they're out in the aisles?
They would bump into me still. Like, I'm not non-corporeal.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm saying, like, you could go back in that snack area in the back. The planes. Don't you laugh like the plane snack area isn't a thing. It's a thing.
The snack in the back.
Yeah, the snack in the back of the plane.
Okay. Anyway.
Get a snack. That's
a
really good
tangent.
One, I would 100% do that. Anyways.
Yeah, Spooky Moon. We had three cards spoiled.
Yeah, we did.
I'm so excited for each of these cards, including the big bad baddie herself.
Emrakul. The Promised End.
Ooh.
That's a pretty baller title.
Name. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, The Great Distortion, we already said was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'd be okay with that. Infinite Euro.
Bad.
No, are you kidding? I would 100% be an Infinite Gyre.
Yeah, I think we talked about this.
Yeah.
But The Promised End, that's
is like
badass.
The best one yet.
Yeah.
The best one yet.
So, let's read this bad lady.
13, just a cost of 13.
13.
13 flat.
All right.
A legendary creature, Eldrazi.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously a mythic.
Yeah.
Emrakul, the Promised End, costs one less to cast for each card type among cards in your graveyard.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So kind of like a Delirium little, like, sub theme going on
better
there.
Better than Delirium?
Yeah. Well, like, right, it meshes well with Delirium.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense. Because if you
Delve?
Read the story on Monday. Well, no, because Delve isn't about types. Delve is just about cards in your graveyard.
Yeah, that's true.
But right, because Delirium is looking at the card types in your graveyard. And so is Emrakul, the causer of Delirium.
Yes.
When you cast Emrakul, you gain control of target opponent during that player's next turn. It's like
Holy
a mind
crap.
Control. After that turn, that player takes an extra turn. Flying, trample, protection from instance.
Ooh. What's this flavor text?
An enigma as vexing as life itself.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
If only that could be on my tombstone.
I mean, it could be. Unless you're talking about
it. Don't threaten me.
Unless you're. I didn't even mean.
I mean, it could be. Oh my God.
I just meant that, like, in the natural course of events someday. Oh God.
Uh-huh. Sure. Everyone, right. If I wind up in a swamp. We all can look back to this podcast.
What?
Yeah, this is...
I would think it's something way more elegant than putting you in a swamp.
Thank you, I guess. So, Emrakul, I don't know why it doesn't just say Delirium costs this much less or whatever.
Well, because Delirium only goes up to four, right? Delirium only cares
yeah.
about four card types.
That's my question. Like, why are they interested? Maybe they're just, like,
well,
really want to aggressively... cost it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, yes, yeah, I believe that, because it, like, if you mean, like, it would say if you have Delirium, Emrakul costs four less to cast.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think it's because this is a way of trying to make it even more playable.
Like, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
so this card's really good. Basically, you could play this for about, you could play this for seven or eight, and that's not too
yeah,
much of a stretch.
Eight. Probably eight.
13 for eight. Pretty good.
Yeah.
With flying, trample, and protection from instance.
Yes.
Plus, you get a, what is it, Mindslaver, where you control mm-hmm. your opponent's turn.
Yes.
And basically, when you control your opponent's turn, just like some tips, like, take a look at their sideboard.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you can do.
Yeah.
It's kind of like nefarious deed. But you can, because you control their dirt, so you can do what you want. You can cast spells willy-nilly that don't benefit them. You can attack their creatures right into Emrakul.
Oh, yeah, you totally can.
So it's kind of like a removal spell, basically. But then again, it's their turn right after that. It's not going to be your turn.
And they said that was a way to prevent you from essentially taking three turns in a row.
Right.
Because it would be like your turn, you take their turn, and then your turn again.
No, that would be bonkers.
Which is in addition to a 13-13 flying trample.
Yeah.
So while Emrakul, you only get the Mindslaver effect if you cast it. I will point out that this is still like pretty sick if you haste it in with Nahiri.
Oh yeah.
Because you do just get flying, to deal 13.
Yeah.
13 damage flying trample.
I take that.
Is pretty impressive. Although maybe less so in the realm of Ormondal.
Yeah, I mean, I will be really interested to see if, like, this could possibly be a standard thing. I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
who knows?
It'd be really kind of sweet if it was.
Only time will tell.
You think Tron will play this bad boy?
You know, that's an interesting question for sure. My inclination goes towards no.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Tron usually just, you know, in the realm of modern, there are so many insane things to do with your mana. Like Karn is pretty great, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Another card that was spoiled with Emrakul, allows you to go fetch and find Emrakul if you so choose.
Yes, any Emrakul.
Yeah,
this card, Coax from the Blind Eternities.
That's what my cat's trying to do outside my door every morning.
It's your bedroom. Do you call your bedroom the Blind Eternities?
Like a dream world, you know.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You want to read it?
Yes, it's cost 2 and a blue. It's a sorcery at rare. You may choose an Eldrazi card you own from outside the game or in exile. Reveal that card and put it into your hand.
Ooh.
This is a very interesting card because I don't know if recently we've had a card that was said you own from outside the game.
Yeah.
What was it used to be in the old wording for exile? Removed from the game was what it used to be called.
Used to be what it called.
So
what
that's
called.
Different than this, obviously.
Yeah, this just means wherever.
I mean, if you're playing when I saw this, I'm like, if you're playing a game of Limited and you draft this, are you allowed to drive home and go get an Eldrazi you have and just like bring it to the store?
I think you have to do it like within a reasonable time frame. You can't drive home. Right? That's like taking too long with your turn.
But like, question, at the Pro Tour, say... Should you like bring your Eldrazis and then like draft this?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I mean, you still have to be able to cast it.
Yeah.
For one. But
in standard, it has to be in your sideboard, right? You can't just like have it, not even in your sideboard.
I mean, this is gonna be a really good question for Judge Rob.
Yeah.
When Judge Rob comes and gives us our Eldritch Moon talk.
I'm sure somebody will tweet at us the answer to that.
Yes.
But that just seems like ridiculous because there's no way to like control that. So.
Yeah. I think it means in your sideboard. An instance of this happening not super long ago was when people were playing Ascendancy combo in Modern before Treasure Cruise was banned. They used a card called Glittering Wish.
Yep.
Which has the same text of, it says choose a multicolor card. You own from outside the game. And in that case, they would go and get it from their sideboard.
Yeah, so I do believe Emrakul or your other Eldrazi has to be in your sideboard and standard. But yeah, in Limited,
I don't know what it means. It might mean what you drafted, but I don't know.
Like, what's the rules? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
And I think in Commander or whatever, if you're not playing casually with your buddies, you...
Casually, I think it means,
go get whatever you want. But
whatever you all have agreed to.
I don't believe it means you can play a banned card. Like, I think some Eldrazi are banned. I'm not exactly sure, but you can't.
In Commander?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe I shouldn't really expound on this too much because I'm not 100% sure. But it's, like, weird. You know, I've never seen it on a card, you know, other than Glittering Wish. But I didn't really play it in that format at that time, so.
Yeah. Well, again, we'll ask Judge Rob about it. We will clarify all of your questions about what does it mean to be outside the game. I know that sometimes after a long day of playing, I feel outside the game.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Even when I'm in it.
Yeah.
So, really, what does it ever mean?
I like want to draft it and go be like at the store, excuse me, one Emrakul, please. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
But then you have to cast it.
Yeah, I know. Which that's like, this may be totally moot because nobody's going to play this in Limited.
Yeah.
I certainly don't think it'd be.
Or like even in like, I don't great. Know. Again, remember, like, it's like I said, you have to be able to cast whatever you go and get. So I'd be interested to see where this shows up.
Yeah.
Because it has to be castable.
The third card is
Cheat into playable.
Yes, cheat into playable. This is also, somebody had mentioned this for Tron as well, if you're playing the blue version.
Yeah, that's very true.
Because there's no more Eye of Eugene, is this kind of like an Eye of Eugene replacement?
Oh, yeah. Maybe they were like, hey, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, I feel bad about that.
Hey, here you go. Merry Christmas.
Sorry.
The third card is a gift to Commander players everywhere.
Yeah.
For it is a legendary creature, Human Werewolf. Yes.
That's right. This bro flips.
He flips, he trips, and sometimes he makes...
Rips people to shreds.
Quips. Oh.
Oh, yeah, you know, he's a werewolf. He's way more likely to make quips than to rip people to shreds.
No, I mean, when he's so in sorry. Human form...
No, I'm sorry.
He's really witty.
Yeah, that's what he's known for. He's Ulrich the Crowlin Horde Jokester. Is his full name. It just didn't fit on the card.
It didn't fit. I mean, it's already long.
Jokester is behind his mana cost.
I wonder if in German it's the same Krallen Horde.
Krallen Horde.
It looks really German.
Krallen Horde.
Hello, I'd like one Krallen Horde, please.
What accent? That was like Norwegian?
That's... Oh, yeah, it was. What am I saying? One Krallen Horde. And then we will go to the club and go dancing. Yeah.
You got a lot closer.
It was a slide.
It was like a slide
like
into
a slide
it.
Slide
yeah.
in the first.
I didn't know where you were at the beginning, but you got there.
Oh,
you
boy.
Got there.
Sometimes my mouth surprises me.
Anyways.
The front side of Ulrich.
Of the Krallen Horde.
Reads, whenever this creature enters the battlefield or transforms into Ulrich of the Krallen Horde, target creature gets +4/+4 until end of turn.
Ooh.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah. At the typical werewolf?
Yes. At the beginning of your upkeep, if no spells were cast this last turn, transform it into the other dude.
Ulrich, uncontested alpha. How alpha is he? So alpha.
He's the alpha-ist.
He is the alpha. He is the most alpha. How alpha? You can't even question it.
Yes.
Quit asking questions about how alpha he is.
Yeah, he's not a beta.
All the way alpha.
He's not a theta.
All the way alpha.
He's not a Z.
All the way alpha. You want to name any other letters of the Greek alphabet before I keep going?
Mu.
Alpha.
Iota.
Alpha. Is that a...
I just made that one up.
Okay. Okay, I thought so. Whenever this creature transforms into Ulrich Uncontested Alpha, you may have it fight target non-werewolf creature you don't control. Ooh.
Yeah.
He's a 6/6.
Nice.
Yeah.
He costs 3 red-green, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Mythic.
And he will not fight other werewolves.
Well, yeah, you don't want to turn on your own kind.
No, you
don't.
On the
pack.
And he would never... He's an uncontested alpha, so he doesn't even have to fight other werewolves.
No.
Because none of them are up in his business.
No, none at all.
No.
So this card, obviously, is really good. I mean, anytime you get a creature and you get something that goes along with that creature, in this case being +4/+4, and in this case being fight for free, that's just gravy on the pudding.
Why would... Don't put gravy on your pudding. Disgusting. That's disgusting.
What if I have corn flavored pudding?
No, the more I think about it, the more grossed out I am. I want you to take a second and just think about like
chocolate pudding,
any kind of pudding. I want you to think of a bowl. I want you to think of a bowl of pudding, and then I want you to think of a thick layer of gravy on it. How are you feeling?
I honestly am fine with it. I'm not going to go and make it, but I'm not going to freak out.
No. No. No.
Okay.
Jesus.
I know. You want to come over for Thanksgiving this year, Megan?
No. Thank you for the offer, but...
Okay. Because we're having a really good dessert.
Is it a type of pie?
No, it's not.
No, okay. Then I think I'm good. I was just gonna check.
Sorry, it is pie. It's pie. It's pudding pie with gravy on top.
If the filling is pudding and the either crust is gravy.
Yeah. Ew.
Now you're grossed out.
Yeah, pie with gravy crust. Like, that's just like, how does that happen? Like, it'd have to be frozen, so it's like cold gravy crust.
Cold gravy crust. Sick. And you put the steam in the middle, and you make like a nice, like, crumbly gravy type.
That's just like dried beef. Now we're making a meat pie, and eventually it's gonna be fine.
No, in the middle is still like vanilla pudding.
I hope one listener makes this and sends us a picture.
If it was like mashed potatoes in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, like gravy on the bottom, mashed but also, potatoes in the middle, that's crumbled.
Crumbled beef on top. You couldn't even say it. No. Welcome to Maria and Megan's cooking show, where we make the foods that make you
that no one dang. Ever thought that should have, no one ever thought should have been made into food.
So, yeah, commander players love this guy because they can now have this guy as their commander. Yeah. It's a wish come true.
I don't know that they all love him. Well, I mean. Some people be like, meh.
Some people.
Meh. But people who are hoping for a legendary werewolf, now they've got one.
Can't please them all.
You certainly can't. Speaking of.
There are
some people who have been like, no thank you, Emrakul.
Yeah. I mean, I think the majority of people saw this coming, that Emrakul is going to be the big bad in this set.
Yeah.
There were some pretty heavy-handed clues leading up to the release of this card.
Yep.
So I wasn't disappointed because, like, I assumed it was the case.
Yeah, I agree that I think the biggest thing that that kept me from being disappointed was that, like, I feel like it's been, like I've known.
Yeah.
I've known. But the other thing is, like, having, like, keeping up with the lore these past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And, like, especially just, like, Nahiri's storyline of being, like, for those of you who don't know. So, Nahiri, originally when the Titans were all, the very first time that the Titans ever reared their ugly heads, Nahiri and Eugene and Soren were like, we've got to trap them somewhere. And the other two pressured Nahiri and they were like, on Zendikar. And she was like, fine, okay, but only...
Which is her home plane.
Yeah, which is Nahiri's home plane. She's a core.
It's like, hey, can I store a bunch of this gasoline rats. In your basement? Gasoline and rats.
Look, I have three big boxes. One is gasoline, one is rats, and the third is bugs.
Fire. Oh.
This box of fire. No, you're right. It's a box of fire. Like, I need to store gasoline, rats, and fire in your house.
Is this... I mean, there's nowhere else we can
but
put
look,
it. Will you please...
But look, if any of them ever get out, I'll come help you, okay?
Oh, okay.
I promise. I'll come help you.
Well, that sounds fine then.
Yeah, so for 5,000 years, everything in your house is cool.
Yeah. The rats, gasoline, and fire were contained.
They're just totally fine. We put in enough, like, protections to keep them from ever getting out. So for 5,000 years, but you can't leave your house.
Oh, why?
Because you have someone has to watch them.
I have to watch it?
You have to watch it.
My life is a piece of crap now.
Yeah. Not only that, but you essentially encase yourself in stone and just slumber for forever. Because that way, if you're in, like, you can hear the reverberations of the rats and the fire and the gasoline.
I'm going to be playing a lot of Dr. Mario.
Yeah, fair enough. So that's Nahiri, right? She's,
yeah.
For 5,000 years, she's essentially, like,
jeez.
Just, like, she's a crazy pre-mending planeswalker, right? She's like unkillable, practically insane powers, but she can't go anywhere because she's like, I'll watch over the Eldrazi. You imprison them on Zendikar, but you, with the promise that if anything ever bad happens and they ever get out, you'll come help. So fast forward 5,000 years, she wakes up and they're like, the Eldrazi are like about to get out. She's like, ah,
question, why was she asleep?
Oh, she wasn't, like, asleep, but like I said, she was, like, encased in stone or some weird way, because she's a lithomancer, so she works with stone, and then she can, like, feel the reverberations, right?
Yeah.
So she's like,
oh, I'll wake up.
Exactly, and she can, like, feel if the Eldrazi are still trapped.
Okay.
Essentially. And she's like, oh, snap, so she activates the Eye of Eugene, which is to tell them, like, bad stuff is about, it's going down.
Yeah.
And Eugene, obviously, was in his cocoon.
Yeah.
Healing from Bolas.
Yes.
And Soren just doesn't show up.
What?
And Nahiri's like, what the F? And she, like, spends all this energy and eventually, on her own, like shuts that down on the Eldrazi's part. Just, like, shuts it down. And then she's like, oh, no, like, Soren was my friend. He'll probably come, like, he would have come.
But something must
have
happened.
He would
have
come to help me. Something must have happened. So she goes to Innistrad all worried about Soren.
Yeah.
And Soren's been making the Hell Vault to store demons and Avacyn to trap demons to keep Innistrad safe. Not only that, but it kind of does this weird thing where it, like, hides Innistrad from everybody else.
Oh.
Right? So that, like, the Eldrazi wouldn't have been able, even while they were, like, squiggling around in the Blind Eternities.
That's what you, definitely what you do.
Definitely what they do. While they're squiggling around in the Blind Eternities, wouldn't have ever emerged on Innistrad because it's like they can't see it. It's been, like, it's like...
It has cloaked. A cloaking device.
Exactly. It has a cloaking device on it.
Romulan. It's Romulan.
Yeah. And the Hell Vault is made of metal. It's from the moon. From Innistrad's moon. Okay. Spooky moon. And it's, like, silver. So Nahiri shows up, and Soren's all tired because he just made Avacyn, and she's like, well, what were you doing? Why didn't you come? I'm so worried about you. It's so nice to see you, friend. And Soren's like, oh, I was making these devices. Maybe they blocked the signal. I don't know. And she's like, don't you remember you promised? And he's like, ah, fuck off. And Nahiri's like, hey, you can't tell me to fuck off. Like, I spent 5,000 years, like, monitoring the Eldrazi because we all had a deal, and now you're just going to tell me? So they get in a big fight, and, you know, Soren's having a rough time of it, but then Avacyn flies in.
Yeah.
And so she has to fight both of them, and then Soren takes Nahiri and pushes her into the Hell Vault.
Oh, my God.
Which, on its inside, is just, like, nothing. It's like a void. There's nothing.
I feel
it's
like...
It's nothingness.
That's a little harsh.
Yeah, and for 1,000 years, she's in there. She's just stuck in the Hell Vault. There's demons in there flapping around, touching her and shit.
Jeez.
Right? Crazy.
It sounds like kind of a douche canoe.
Yeah, it's a real mean move. So he pushed her into the Hell Vault. And then fast forward 1,000 years, Liliana comes looking for Gristlebrand.
Yep.
Breaks open the Hell Vault. All the demons get out, and Nahiri gets out. She goes to Zendikar. And the Eldrazi, as we know, Oath, BFZ and Oath, have just wrecked
decimated.
It. Just wrecked
and
it.
Here we are a few episodes ago, like, I hope Zendikar gets wrecked.
That's true. But it's like, right, there's going to be, yeah. There were still people on it. Although when Nahiri was there, Ulamog wasn't dead yet. Like, the Titans hadn't been killed. They were just alive. And so, and she goes to Balaged, and there's, like, nothing left of it. And she's like, she looks at it and she's like, Soren did that. Like, this is Soren's fault. Which, if you think about it, also, like, Soren just pushed Nahiri into the Hell Vault and then left. Like, no one's monitoring the Eldrazi.
He should have just right? been like, how about go home and fix it? I mean, that's less mean, in my opinion, than putting someone in prison with demons.
Well, no, it's just that they were in a fight. And Nahiri was like, I'm going to keep fighting you until you acknowledge that you did something wrong.
Yeah.
And Soren's like, I will never acknowledge that I did anything wrong. Push you into the Hell Vault.
Got it.
So, anyways, yeah, so then Nahiri looks at Zendikar, which is wrecked, and she's like, this is Soren's fault.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do this to Innistrad.
Yeah.
So, I feel like having gotten so invested in that story, also, right, like, that's a lot of setup. We know back in Khan's block, when Soren went to go find Eugene and was like, Eldrazi, oh no, and Eugene was like, where's Nahiri, and Soren was like, Well, that's difficult to answer.
Crazy.
And Eugene was like, Soren, go get Nahiri or else. So we know, right, way back in Khan's, that this whole thing with Nahiri being pushed into the Hell Vault was already a thing. So I feel like some people are like, oh, they switched Battle from Zendikar was originally going to be 3 sets. So they just pushed Emrakul into the next set. But I think if you look at how long they've been building the whole story arc of Nahiri and Soren and Eugene and the Eldrazi.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's the case because it takes, you know, it was as far back as Khan's. And I think even there were some hints before that of like, where's Nahiri? What happened to her?
Yeah.
So she's been in that Hell Vault for a long time. And if they knew that the Titans were going to wreck Zendikar, then I feel like that vengeance has been a long time coming.
Whoa, sick.
Right? It's pretty sick.
Well, yeah. So Emrakul's here. I mean,
yeah,
makes sense. Everybody's going crazy.
Yeah.
Because...
I mean, everyone's legit going crazy. If you haven't read the story for this week, go and read it. There's some, like, Gisela and Bruna, two of the angels, two of the ones that went crazy, along with Avacyn, like, fused into one giant
yes.
Eldrazi monster.
The art of that is sick.
It's disgusting. It's, like,
I can't wait for that card.
Heads and, like, 4 wings. And
it's going to be, like, a 9-9.
Oh, flying. It's going to have flying for sure.
So
it's going to be so gross.
That's the card I'm, like, most waiting for.
Yeah, I agree. I think after seeing that art, everyone is like, where is it? What does it look like? Tell me about it.
Cool. So, yeah.
That Emrakul art, too, is just fantastic. No, it's great. It's amazing.
The full art shows, like, the townspeople going at each other's throats
so
and stuff.
It's so good. And just, like, Emrakul just, like, towering over Innistrad. Yeah. It's baller.
I mean, people growing tentacles left, right, and center.
Yep. Like, out of their chests.
Yep, that's what I meant.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I assumed you meant. So, yeah. I mean, that's how we're feeling about it. I feel like it's been, for me, it was enough of a lead-up. And I'm hoping enough for Nahiri.
And, I mean, Emrakul is just actually... I know it's not Mirror Liege, but it's, like, a cool card anyway, so I'm not, like...
Yeah, Emrakul is a sick beastie.
Yeah. So I'm not mad.
Me neither.
Okay.
Also, Nahiri better... get to wreck Soren. Soren better be wrecked at the end of this.
Megan's got some vengeance to lay down.
If he's not, I'll be so upset. Such a tool.
Eternal Masters drafts!
That's right, guys. We have been drafting some Eternal Masters. Not a ton, but a little bit.
I mean, it's money, so like, I don't think anybody's like...
going crazy drafting it. Yeah. But it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, this set is sweet. It is similar, as we've mentioned before, to Modern Masters 1 and 2, in that it's got really powerful cards and is built to be drafted. Yes. So the archetypes are very strong.
Yes.
And a lot of decks are kind of, you know, ingrained in the format, like, oh, I'm going to play elves, or I'm going to play enchantments, or that sort of thing. So it's fun to, like, kind of assemble the best version of that deck, as it were. So maybe we're not doing complicated things, although you can. But there's some fairly straightforward strategies as well that are legit fun.
Yeah. So of the three times I've drafted it, twice I drafted blue-white flyers.
Yeah.
Which has been very good.
Yes.
Very. It's just like, and you know what? Like, it's not exciting.
No, not really.
It's just a good, but it's a good deck.
I've heard that white aggro is the best color, and that's what you should be doing if you want to win.
Yeah. Although I've also heard that blue-red is very good.
Oh, okay.
That those colors are quite deep.
Yeah, so I drafted blue-white flyers as well. Mm-hmm. It was really strong. Mm-hmm. It wasn't all flyers, I suppose, because I had some sick, like, what is it, cat of eight tails or something like that?
Oh, eight and a half tails.
That'd be weird. Eight and a half tails, I had two of them. And then that...
Ooh, that's baller.
That big Leonin seven drop. That Jared or something.
What?
He's a big cat. He costs seven.
Okay.
And he, too, has amazing power. So it's basically a mono-white deck. I had two pacifisms, like, whatever. It was good. And I also drafted the enchantments deck. And it was kind of a sort of almost a nut enchantments deck because it had two of the mythic 01 Shroud Enchantress that draws you a card when you play an enchantment, as well as the 3-drop, which draws you a card, as well as three of the cards that care about the enchantresses that care about how many enchantments you have. They're 2/2s.
Yeah.
And about 1,000 enchantments. The problem was I didn't have any of the 1-drop white dudes that give you protection when you sacrifice them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is key because you need to protect these creatures because they don't have hexproof.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It felt a little slow.
What's our Gothian Enchantress has Shroud.
Yes, but you can't put anything on her. So.
Oh, that's also true.
She just hangs out.
Just there.
If she didn't have Shroud, if she had hexproof, Boggles would play her, and also she would, you know, I don't know. She would have been way better.
I didn't think about that.
But no, it was just a little slow because the best decks in the format are aggressive. And of course, enchantments, you can run into the problem of having nothing but enchantments in your hand. But either way, like it was super sick and it just didn't perform as well for me as I think it should have. But the second deck was the bee's knees.
Nice.
Yeah.
I also drafted a green-black elves deck that only turned out like mediocre.
Yeah.
Honestly. It did have 3 Rancor. Which is so good. Especially if you're just putting it on little, like, expendable creatures. It's like, okay, well, I'll swing and, like, you can block, but you're still going to take a couple of points and this Rancor comes back to my hand.
Yes.
Your creature's dead and I'll just slap it on another one, too.
I love Rancor so much.
So that was a lot of fun. It didn't have quite the staying power. I only had one, like, I had a Wirewood Symbiote and I had the green-black Shaman of the Pack.
Yeah.
But it just, like, it wasn't quite enough.
But what was your card that lets you bounce an elf to your hand?
That's wirewood.
Yeah.
Wirewood symbiote.
That one's sick, but not quite as sick as the one that you tap it, it gives plus X based on the number of elves you control. That's
true. Timberwatch elf.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
I did get wrecked by that card. By someone else playing.
How do you
card.
Not? Like, yeah. Honestly. Unless you, great. Unless it's your only creature, mm-hmm. which is not likely in an elves deck. But it's really fun, though. Yeah. And you have the potential to open some major money if you have a lucky hands.
I have so far opened a foiled daze and two different sneak attacks.
I opened a foil Factor Fiction, which is just like cool looking because it's the first time it's been available in foil.
Yeah.
And a foil Maze of Ith.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which also looks really neat.
Nice.
I think it's like worth $30 or something, so it's not insane, but like, yeah, pretty cool.
Pretty sweet, man.
So yeah, EMA, check it out at Sun Magic Online if you want to draft it. I don't know, having a great time with it. Probably going to do some more online just because it's really fun and I haven't super explored the format yet.
Yeah, me neither.
Community Super League! Doo-doo-doo-doo!
That's right, it is our last week.
I'm going to cry.
I know, it's so sad, you guys.
Single tier.
Oh, it's been so much fun.
It really has.
This week we are playing Pauper.
Yep.
And we are playing one of Maria's favorite.
Oh, I'm gonna die of happiness.
Favorite archetypes. We are playing Boggles in Pauper. I don't know if it is any good at all, but we are certainly gonna play it.
We're gonna play it.
We're gonna play it.
Megan was finally convinced when she found out it 5-0'd some leagues, so...
That did not convince me. 5-0'ing a league is not enough to convince me.
What convinced you?
But at the
you?
Same time, that I know nothing about Pauper and have no better suggestions.
Okay. I think it's going to be great. I think the core of the deck is common cards, so that's, makes it a no-brainer as a port over to Pauper, which is playing with all commons, in case you didn't know. Really fun format, very budget-friendly.
Obviously.
Because, they're all commons.
So, especially if you're looking to get into some budget play, there are Pauper leagues on Magic Online, and you can also play it. Some stores have Pauper, and it's also, like, a very, it's obviously a very popular casual format.
Yes.
Because it's so budget-friendly. So, check out this week if you want to get to know a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
And are maybe interested in trying it out. You're going to be able to watch 8 different decks compete. 10. I can't do math.
Well, it might only be 8 because some people are playing the same deck. Who knows?
Or similar decks.
Yeah.
So, definitely come check it out. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yes. Community Super League. It's going to be at 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central this Thursday. Tune in. We will be the first match out of the gate.
That's right. So if you check in at 6:45 Central, we'll be up.
We'll be there. Popping away, playing Boggles, hopefully sticking some bogs and putting some... armadillo cloaks on them and being like, boom, bitty, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
You did.
Wreck it.
I should point out that the reason that this is the last week is because we did not make the finals. So
no, of course
there
not.
Will be another week after this.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, you can watch that week. We won't be on it because we were not quite good enough to make the finals.
Well, to be fair, it's difficult to win when the professor... decides to play a legacy Merfolk deck.
That's true.
When you thought that you were having tribal fun.
No hard feelings at all.
No hard feelings, Professor. We're not upset.
I feel like Kenji is a lock for the finals, and he's the only one that's locked right now.
I have no idea.
So, like, a lot is riding on this on Thursday, okay? This is serious business.
Oh, yeah. Come check it out.
Flavortext Theater presents... Movie Pitches.
Oh, yeah.
Eternal Masters Edition. All the value. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to open this up. Megan, tell them how it goes.
So in Flavortext Movie Pitches, we are going to take a look at the cards. They're all face down when we start up.
Oh, that was a foil. I thought it was going to be a foil.
We're going to, pitch a movie with the title of the card.
Yeah.
That's it.
So pretty I'm just going to shuffle them a little bit so we don't know which is the... The rare.
That's right.
Okay. Randomly drawing one.
All right. Go for it.
Oh, I gotta think for a second. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is a future movie where the like monsters have risen up, or the robots, take your pick.
Okay.
Aliens have invaded, and Earth is decimated, and the humans are few, but they are left, and they're living in like a single corner of the Earth, and the robot monster aliens, I've just made them all into one creature, are coming at them and are poised to have their like final attack on this human culture. Mm-hmm. These humans, however, have like, they still have society. It's just very, you know, it's anarchy, but there is still some kind of society there that runs. They're trying to make it run like the old society ran, but they're facing these monsters, and what are they going to do? They're going to lose, and the human race is going to be obliterated.
Yeah.
Until one day, our hero comes up with the idea, like, they want to build a wall, right? A giant wall to keep out these monsters.
Uh-huh.
But they have no materials because everything's been torn down. There's no more forests. There's no more...
I just want to be clear. The hero's great idea is a wall.
Yes, but just wait.
Okay, okay, okay.
Which, like, is surprisingly the hero's idea in, like, too many movies, I found.
Yeah, that's fair.
So they're like, we don't have anything. We can't make him out of wood. We can't make it out of concrete. We don't have anything. But their society still has currency and money because they're still trying to operate like an old society. And this person's like, no, throw away your money. Let's get rid of it. Let's take down the tiers of society, like rich people, poor people, break it down, and everybody put every last metal coin you have into this bucket. Pretty soon, the bucket is full, and they stack the coins up so high. There were so many coins left over. It's like a commentary on materialism. And they stack them so high, the robot monster army comes and it turns out is allergic to nickel, so cannot go through the wall and catch a disease. It's called Price of Progress.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go.
So I get it.
Yeah.
So mine,
it's like really bad. It's trying to be social commentary, but it's just terrible.
Mine is about like a very inept Secret Service agent in the British Secret Service, right? But he's inept, and he's especially, the part that he was bad at, he's actually like very physically capable. That's why he got into the spy program in the first place. Like, he, you know, he can like, you know, shoot a gun at a target great all the time.
That's the number one.
And it's like, you know, like jump over walls and climb mountains and all that stuff. Fight hand-to-hand combat great. Except, but he's, like, the verbal part was super hard for him, and he'd always just be like, what?
Oh, no.
So instead, they just make him into, like, a guard at Buckingham Palace. But, of course, it's, like, a comedy. Hijinks ensue. He actually ends up being a spy again and bringing down, like, there's, you know, it turns out someone has infiltrated the guards at Buckingham Palace. So he has to bring him down from the inside, even while the spy program is like, no, you can't anymore because... we kicked you out. It's called Sentinel Spy Durr.
Because he's like, kind of a derp.
Well, that's one of the things he would say. Durr.
Derp.
Durr.
Yeah, this one is what I'm just going to tell the story of what happened to me last weekend.
Okay.
This is a movie based on my personal experience of being stung by a catfish.
Okay.
So, the more you know, everybody, don't get stung by a fucking catfish, because it fucking hurts.
Yeah.
A catfish beached itself on my dock at my cabin. I tried to slap it back into the water. It stung me, which is something I did not know catfish could do, or any fish, really. But it stung me. It put poison into my body. My arms went numb. It was a terrible, terrible pain. I thought I was dying. Didn't die. Thought I was fine. 1 week later, my finger starts swelling up. It's in immense pain. Turns out there's still catfish barbs in my finger. I had to be rushed to the emergency room. 1 a.m, when I didn't get up really early the next day, whine. They numbed my finger with 2 large needles, which I'm very scared of, and took out the like barbs in my hand, loaded me up on antibiotics, all because I tried to save a fish's life. Turns out I will now let every fish die. Anyway, the name of my sad experience was Sting Scourger.
Yeah. That's what you become.
Like, because of the poison.
You're the scourge of the sting.
I'm like Spider-Man, and I'm going to turn into Catfish Woman.
Well, but you're going to go... No, you're going to go after anything that stings. Like, you're going to eradicate, like, wasps.
Oh, bees.
Catfish. Don't eradicate bees.
Bees!
Them. Okay, so mine is a horror film.
Ooh.
And it's about how... So in this in this like very it's set up above kind of like near the Arctic Circle, but not all the way there. So there's lots of time during the year when it's very dark a lot of the day and there's not a lot of light. And it turns out that like if there's too much like in this one concentrated area, if there's it's so dark all the time that like if it's dark for too long, like the darkness has a chance to like coalesce into like a being, like an actual form.
It's freaky.
And so it's like coalescing, you know, at night. And people at first think that they're going crazy because they'll wake up and they'll hear voices, but they can't quite make out what it's saying because it's not fully human yet.
Yeah.
It's called Night's Whisper.
It's so scary. I'm spooked.
You straight spooked?
I'm so spooked.
Straight spooked?
This movie is the sequel to The Happening, which, if you don't want this movie to be spoiled, stop listening right now. It's M. Night Shyamalan's disaster piece that is just terrible and was the only time I've been in a theater when the entire audience agreed that the movie sucked during it and, like, started treating it as a comedy halfway through. It was, like, ethnography study of like a subpopulation.
Yeah.
In this case, moviegoers experiencing this terrible piece of film, The Happening by M. Night Shyamalan. So anyway, it's you know what happens now. You've been ready for the spoiler. The trees did it. The trees is what are causing people to go crazy. It's basically the same movie, sequel, Happening 2, but this time it's the earth. It's the actual land that's getting up and punching people in the face. Like, mountains are, like, farting on various people. Seas are drowning people. Okay. Roads are, like, choking. It's like, they blew the CGI budget on this, but it's just awful. It's called Urborg Uprising. Get it? Because lands.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep, I get it. Okay, so I have, this is like one of those films that's done in kind of like, it's like a documentary-ish style, even though it's not a documentary. What's mockumentary?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not strictly comedic. It's like a lightly comedic. And it's about a bunch of kids who, in their school district, all of the arts funding gets cut. This is like middle schoolers. And it's, you know, it's all refocused on like all this testing and all these academics. And their school is, right, everybody's like super obsessed with the spelling bee. And these kids are like, these kids are like, we're over it. Like, we want to be, you know, we want to prove that you can be excellent at music and that you can be excellent at poetry, that you can be excellent at dance, that you can be excellent at all of these things that aren't just strictly academics. So they start their own like counter league to the spelling bees and all of these academic tournaments. And obviously, you know, they do great and they prove wonderful things. And it's also funny, it's called Counterspell.
My movie is like a super cool badass lady fighting type movie. She's been through a lot of shit. She's gotten beat up. One day her nemesis manages to capture her and gives her a wicked like scar across her face, like really deep, but she's like now on the mission, of course, for vengeance, to go back and get him because she escapes alive. What she figures out is that when she goes through security at airports or whatever, because I mean, like, she's still human, like she still has to get around, the buzzer will go off because of all the metal and weapons she's carrying. She finds out that her scar is deep enough to insert a tiny little blade, like hook shaped blade, in her face. That she goes through security, it beeps, they're like, well, we can't find anything on you, go through. And she manages to meet this guy again, take out the blade inside her face scar, and slit his throat. It's called Liz Elena Scarblade.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's kind of like a Kill Bill scenario.
Yeah.
But like even darker.
All right, so I have a...
We still haven't found our rare, have we?
No, we haven't.
Oh my
gosh. Okay, so in this film, the producers looked at 300 and they were like, we like all the fighting, but there's like too much flavor on this. Right? Like we need something way more vanilla. Like something way more bland, but that's still like great warriors. It's called Elite Vanguard.
Oh, we. I don't have the rare. Do you have the rare?
No.
That's a. It's an it's actual, the last, actual card. Last card. I threw a couple away that I thought were stupid. So this
as
one,
did I.
I'm just like, what should this one be?
I'm also gonna throw that one away.
I don't know. Maybe this one's not like super good. Okay, this one is just a movie starring the rapper Drake and his twin, and they're really happy. The whole movie is called Peregrine Drake. Peregrines.
Yep.
All right, Megan, you have the rare.
Yeah, I do. Oh, so in this film, there's like a girl who's born, and like she doesn't realize that she's, they don't know why she's special.
Force of will.
No.
Dang.
Sorry. That she's special, right? That she has like the key, you know, this is like kind of like dystopian.
Yeah.
They're like, this is, you know, like the person that we were promised would come and is going to save us. But they're like, the problem is like, what if something happens to her? We live in a super dangerous world. So they create, an exact clone of her.
What?
And they have the clone shadow her everywhere. So that when she turns, like, she's just taught that that's how reflections work. So sometimes she'll turn around and see this clone of her around. And she doesn't
this
realize.
This is how everybody feels.
Yeah, well, she doesn't realize. She just catches that fry. And they tell her, like, no, that's normal. It's normal to, like, you know, like, catch glimpses of yourself somewhere. So this girl grows up and, you know, her clone with her protecting her all the way. Because her clone obviously has to be, like, a crazy fighter.
Yeah.
And doesn't really get to ever live her own life.
Wow.
And then it turns out that in a horrible, a horrible turning of the tides by the people who don't want things to change, end up being able to murder the girl.
Wow.
The special chosen one. And her clone just feels horrible, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what she was made to do.
Yeah.
And she feels terrible, but, like, she manages to claw her way out of feeling awful and goes on to pretend to be the girl that she was built to clone.
Whoa.
So that people don't lose hope. And she manages to, like, lead them out, like, anyways. It's called Duplicant.
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
That movie with Ewan McGregor, where it's in the future.
Oh, yeah, where they have, like,
clones for organs.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Then I knew
escape,
that there was something similar.
And, like, it take over the lives of the people that they were cloned,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Duplicant, all right.
Oh, all right.
What a flavor text theater.
What a flavor text theater.
Pretty great.
Yeah, man. Eternal Masters. You're not going to get too many flavor texts, though.
No.
We're not made of money.
Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, we covered a lot of ground.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts, as always, on Twitter. Shoot us a tweet at MTAcast.
Yeah.
About EMA, EMN, CSL, FTT. That's Flavor Text Theater.
FTP.
FTP, I want to know. HTTP, how do you feel about
HTML?
That?
HTML.
Yeah, especially HTML. I'm
yes.
really interested. Perhaps, like, some CSS.
Mm-hmm. C plus.
Probably some PHP.
Yep.
Probably some PVC.
Oh yeah,
pipes.
Definitely.
I
definitely
want to know about
PVC.
That.
Yeah.
Anyway, all of your thoughts are available to us.
Please hashtag it with the correct with the correct initialing,
yeah,
so that we know which one of those long list of things you are talking
yeah,
about.
Thank you.
Speaking of, you can tweet at us at MTAcast on Twitter. You can email us magictheamateuring@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Magic the Amateuring, or MTAcast.
Yeah, facebook.com/MTAcast.
Yes. You can find our website, magictheamateuring.com, where you can purchase playmats. They're sick. T-shirts. They are also super sick.
I want to point something out right now.
What?
We soon will have more men's larges in the store. They are
Ooh.
Done, so we just got to go pick them up.
There you go.
Pay them cash monies, and we'll have more men's larges.
Oh, yeah.
Which also means that every patron who has achieved their $5
yep.
an episode mark or $10 episode mark and ordered a men's large, you will have those shipped out to you very shortly.
That's
so,
right. Speaking of Patreon,
yeah.
please go over to our Patreon page if you're able and, you know, chuck a dollar our way per episode. It helps us keep the cast going strong. It helps us get sick tech, like these microphones,
yeah,
and this video that you're seeing right now. Hopefully it's going to help us get some better streaming equipment so that we're actually going to be able to have a reliable streaming situation.
Yes.
In the very near future.
Yeah. So
stuff like that.
Really valuable to us. Like super valuable.
Appreciate it.
It's not like just going nowhere. It's like actually helping improve the show. And give you more benefit on the other side. Like, you know, having us do more regular streams and that sort of thing. I want to also say that you also get this out of it. If we hit the $700 mark, we'll do a Magic the Gathering drunk history.
Ooh,
which
snap.
I think will be just about the funniest thing that's ever happened.
It'll be great.
So help us get to 700 by heading over to patreon.com/mtacast. It really means so much to us when you're a patron. So yeah,
you
thank
also
you.
Get the extra special patron special,
yes,
which is an extra 5 minutes every week of chatting about something non-magic.
We're gonna talk just in a minute. Our dear extra patron pay special,
but you
special,
won't
special
know what it is unless
you
are a patron.
So get on there, okay? Or be this zombie token that I'm holding, okay?
Get on there or be that zombie token. Thank you so much for listening, and until next week, pine trees.